to the 36th episode of the Frank Online Marketing Show. My name is Temma Frank, and I'm your host. I'd like to start by thanking IBM Canada for their ongoing support of this show. The Conference Board of Canada's Centre for Business Innovation came out with a report this past week in which it noted that Canada has dropped from 11th to 22nd place in the World Economic Forum's Global Competitiveness Index over the past year alone. And the conclusion that the Conference Board has come to from its research is not that we're lacking in basic R&D, but more that we are lacking in some of the softer skills that are required to actually commercialize our inventions. That we don't have the processes in place, we don't have the ability to communicate effectively enough to get the funding we need to really commercialize effectively. Anyway, so in this week's show, I've got an interview that I did with Bruce Good, who heads up the Center for Business Innovation, on that research piece. So while this talk is perhaps a little more abstract than a lot of the shows that I put together for you, I think there are some pretty important points here for businesses listening to this show. One of them is that you really need to think bigger than just your province or just even Canada. Ideally, if you really want to be successful in a big way, you need to think internationally. Another key point is that you need to improve your ability to communicate effectively what it is that you're doing, and you need to get comfortable forming international alliances, working with other companies, having collaboration agreements. That is a pretty crucial aspect if you really want to be able to grow. There are a few other points that I'll pull out at the end of the show, so we'll chat with you then.
Bruce Good. So I'm the executive director here at the Conference Board of Canada, overseeing the Center for Business Innovation. If you looked at some of the reporting of the Conference Board of a decade or so, you'd see that our innovation performance has been sort of steadily declining. We came up to a couple of key conclusions, and the major one is around language. And I'm not talking French and English. Language in terms of the language of the entrepreneur or the innovator and the language of financiers and the people that invest, and they speak a different language.
In what way?
Well, in terms of the their ability to, let's speak first from the innovator, their ability to really put their creation or their innovation into terms of value that is understood and, you know, and communicated properly to the investor, in terms that the investor now hears it in terms of what they're looking for, which is obviously the best return they get on that investment dollar they put into it. And there seems to be a gap there. So a significant one that can actually be dealt with. And I think that this is a key finding. If your language is not right, then you can anticipate getting the funding to drive innovation, whether it's domestically or internationally. You're going to be challenged.
Why would that be different in Canada, let's say, versus the United States?
Well, if you've worked in the U.S., you'll see that the culture of investment and innovation is a little bit different. There are a lot more what I'll call entrepreneurial management skills in place in a lot of these companies than we seem to have. We have a lot of the founder skills, which are the true technology and product quality and real depth in innovation in that space. But when it comes to now the marketing side of it, that there was quite a bit of weakness there from a culture point of view with inside the firm on their ability to understand channels of market, understand the marketing of, and how to be successful. Hmm. And that was a big surprise for us.
Huh. Can we just talk about this reluctance to get into exporting? So you did see that Canadian companies, you made the case quite clearly in the article that they'd rather deal within their own province or beyond their own country. Some tiptoe into the United States, but there's generally a real reluctance to get involved in exporting. Do you have any sense of why that would be?
One of the things, and our evidence doesn't support this yet. So let me start with a bit of a cultural thing, because it needs a lot more work, okay? And I think we need to level set that. And it's about the competitive spirit, the need to drive and continuously pursue aggressive and competitive pressure. It's more of a culture within an organization. And I think Canada has been seen as lacking in that space, and many other people have reported on this. We're not convinced that that's the only thing, but we know that it's an important part. And from my perspective, that spirit, that competitive drive to go beyond your current office building, city, town, village, province, and country is based on your ability to have key metrics and evidence to support it. And we're finding in our research that the Canadian companies are lacking that. The reluctance to do anything is usually based on a lack of confidence, evidence, or ability to convince others to support you. And that support is usually founded on two or three key fundamentals. Financial, meaning you've got the financial back-end wherewithal to do it, and the evidence to support it, its robustness and true value. And secondly, you've got the management and commercialization skills and business acumen to make it work, because quite frankly, you often don't have the money and you need to raise it. So that's why I go back to my first point I made about financing and how important that language is, so that you may have the best product, you know, but if you're not able to put the funding around it, and you're not able to communicate its value to those that may be able to help you put the funding, and you're not able to really communicate, you know, what the potential is, then your ability to attract others, be it collaboration partners in the U.S. or abroad, it gets diminished significantly. The competitive spirit is driven by tactical skills. There are two or three really missing. First one, measurement. 50% of the people who responded to our survey do not have what they consider self-reported management and measurement tools in place to track their innovation performance today. That's a very telling piece of why people may not feel comfortable moving forward outside of their own territory, to answer your question, Dana. The second piece, it becomes somewhat cultural within the firm. What we found from our research was a low funding and the lack of it was the most difficult thing preventing companies from innovating and moving beyond their borders. And funding issue became, you know, somewhat problematic in that the real issue behind the funding is coming from internal cash flow for the first point is what we found from our research, and or from the headquarters of a corporate, you know, from a multinational.
Okay.
So you had to be very good at communicating, you know, to the people that had the funding in order to put that in place for you. And we're finding that smaller companies, that, you know, as much as we think they're nimble and so on, that funding model becomes almost insurmountable in many cases, their ability to grow. And what was interesting with the large firms, the research was around more the fear of risk.
Yes.
And the inability to stand against your peer group, if you wish, to fight for your particular innovation and the funding required to make it grow. That comes down ultimately to skills. These are things that could be learned. There are techniques, there are tools, there are things that can be deployed. It's not an innovation gap, it is a commercialization gap. And the commercialization skill we're really on fire, and this is now supported by our research, is the missing piece around organizations' lack of skill in the area of channel marketing. And we think that's a key piece.
Can you elaborate a little bit when you're saying the lack of understanding of channel marketing?
You have to understand, I guess, first, you know, where you are. And these companies were very articulate, and we found huge strength in ability to understand technology. They responded highly when it came to product quality and the innovation around it. So Canadians, companies from the research we saw, were very clearly, of those 628 companies, said, look, we've got strengths in this space. But self-reported, we're not very good at understanding the channels and the marketing side to it. So they become perfect takeover targets, frankly, because I've seen a lot of that in this country. There's two key areas. There's sort of the business positioning that's required for a company to really survive, and that's mm-hmm. understanding your market, understanding your competitors, understanding, you know, the place that you fit and where you are. That's a huge piece. The market knowledge itself, you know, in terms of understanding the relationships, the current state of who's doing what to who, the quality of that marketing, the branding, and understanding the role brand plays. There's so many elements to this that seem to be secondary to a lot of companies that are innovating in this country right now, whereas if you look at other organizations, I mean, this almost becomes their primary. A great mm-hmm. example of this, Cisco Systems in 1992, coming into Canada, they didn't have the best product, but they had, mm-hmm. they had tremendous marketing and branding and channel strategies that drove mm-hmm. them into this country, and I can attest to that because I was the product leader for introducing Cisco to Canada, and they didn't have the best product. But, you know, they didn't have to because they understood, and the point I want to make here is that understanding your market, understanding your positioning, and the channels to make you successful are just as important, if not more important, when you're in the innovation business, and that seems to be, from where we did our research, where we're the weakest.
Hmm. That is very interesting. I wonder how much, I mean, one of the things that I have found in talking with companies in Canada is, I mean, we talk about the aversion to risk and stuff, but also I just get the sense there's almost a complacency because they haven't had to be very competitive. I mean, I see this a lot in the e-commerce world where, you know, until now they were able to say, well, it doesn't really matter. People will go to our stores anyway. And now with the American entrance, that's starting to change. But I wonder how much that's issue with a lot of Canadian businesses is just there is a certain complacency, a feeling that they don't really need to put effort into stuff that's risky.
So here's where we, this is where you get philosophical to a certain degree, but I think it's back to that evidence. Innovation and the need to do it is driven by usually two things, fear and greed.
Yeah. Yes.
So fear, you're having your market being taken away from you and you're going to be out of business. So mm-hmm. you've got to do something. Greed is a huge opportunity. And there is opportunity. And the spirit will drive you there.
Yep.
So if you look at those two things, in our country, you know, we've got to get a lot more. The alarm bells are going off. Okay.
Right.
We've been reporting it for a decade. Mm-hmm. When you look at IP and the protection that's available in other countries, it's somewhat skeptical in a lot of places, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that really mean? Well, what that means is you have to be constantly innovating in order to avoid, you know, your one innovation just being copied without any protection, and you're out of where
right.
you know it. So it's about constant innovation. That in itself, you know, is so important to how companies, you know, the culture they build within their firm to create that constant innovation theme. And the culture is the key word. It starts with the leadership mm-hmm. of the organization and their ability to put that culture into place, to reward it, to incent it, and to really manage it. And in managing, I'm talking not just from a people management, I'm talking process, I'm talking tools.
Yes. It's interesting, Bruce, because you talk about the need to be constantly innovating. And one of the things that struck me is your study found that 61% spend greater than 7% of their time on innovation. And yet I think of a company like Google where 20% is spent on just totally free-form do whatever you want innovation, let alone all the other innovation that's built into their jobs. How the heck can we possibly compete if that's what we're competing?
Here's how we compete, and you are part of this. I mean, you need to communicate that message and say, look, if you want to perform and have the benefits of that performance, then you need to shift some of that thinking. It's not so much the time or the dollars spent in R&D and some of the things that a Google or anyone else would be deploying. And it's about time intensity and how you balance those. So there was a real difference here. Now, it may not seem like a big number difference, but it's big.
Well, and that's the other really interesting thing about this, because if you're just looking at a Canadian marketplace, you're going to say, well, the market's not big enough to justify this kind of risk and investment. You comment again in the report, and I've certainly heard this from lots of the entrepreneurs I've spoken to, is that in order for them to get Canadian investments, they have to get supported by an American investor first. It's like, you know, in the old days when Canadian pop stars didn't become stars until they had made it in the U.S. It seems like there's a bit of that happening in the financial world as well.
I think it goes back to the language. I think it goes back to skills and talent and acumen.
But if they're able to sell an American investment company on it, why wouldn't they be able to sell a Canadian one?
Well, I'm not sure that, you know, this is some of the areas of research that we got to go a little deeper in, to be honest with you.
Okay.
We've just scratched the surface on this.
Okay.
And we do understand that there's clearly language issue, and what does that mean? And we need to go a lot deeper on that. Do some qualitative research as well, because
sure.
it's problematic.
Well, the other thing that struck me as interesting is your comment that Canadian companies are putting effort into becoming more competitive and trying to improve their market position, but they're not innovating in management processes. And it seems to me that you're not going to become more successfully, competitively, or in market position if you don't innovate in the back end.
Yeah. One of the key things that we'll be delivering probably in the September timeframe is the client, the secret sauce, but it's sort of a cultural piece. What occurs okay. within the firm and the kinds of things that are required to be successful.
Do you think that there's a role to play here that perhaps our business schools are not fulfilling adequately? Why do people not have this skill set? Why do they where should that be coming from?
Well, there's no one place that you could put, you know, let's put it another way, Dana. If this was an easy problem to solve, it would have been solved decades ago.
Well, exactly. And, you know, there is a bit of a chicken and egg thing, too, because if Canadians aren't thinking big, they're not going to make the money. If they're not going to make the money, then why would somebody like an MBA go work, take the risk of working for them? It is sort of a vicious circle, I guess.
Right. And I think that, you know, it will take all three, both industry, academia, and government, to fix this and to course correct, I should say, this innovation or commercialization gap that we have. And I think they're all very well aware of it.
I look at the world through the eyes of a marketer, so for me it was a little bit of a surprise to hear Bruce stressing over and over again that really the biggest problem that Canada is having in its innovation performance is on the marketing side. Our innovators don't understand marketing well enough to really successfully commercialize what they're coming up with. I guess the key point here is you can't just rely on building a better mousetrap and having the world beat a path to your door. That won't happen. You need to form alliances with people who have the types of expertise that you are lacking, with people who have the connections internationally that you are lacking. You have to recognize that no small business has it all. If you try to do it all yourself, you're never going to get very successful. And I know that for a lot of entrepreneurs, I'll be honest, myself included, that is one of the toughest lessons to accept and to live with. So I hope that the Frank Online Marketing Show will at least help you learn a little bit of the missing language that Bruce was talking about, and more than just the language, but the actual skills, what you need to know to commercialize what you're doing successfully and to grow your market. That's all for today. I'd love to get your feedback on this and any other episode. Please contact me, Tema, T-E-M as in mother A, at frankonlinemarketing.com. Or visit the website and you can comment there. Either there's a little button you can click on the right-hand side of the page so you can leave a voice message. Or, of course, you can always contact me in any way through the site or on Twitter or Facebook or email, whatever. Whatever works for you. I would love to get your feedback, though, and I look forward to chatting with you next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.